Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
Okay, I'm not going to spend much more time on this, but the impeachment trial of Alejandro Mayorkas in the U.S. Senate is over. Less than 3 hours from beginning to end. Done, finished, it's over. Now, when the Democrats impeached Donald Trump, they were able to draw it out for days and days, and they made television. Boy, they made the most of it. They drew it out for days and days and days. In the end, they did not vote to find Donald Trump guilty. But at least they got a whole lot of television time out of it. The Republicans got about 3 hours. Oh, my goodness. In my opinion, a complete, total waste of time. Window dressing, show, theater, whatever you want to call it, and it accomplished nothing. Now, the Republicans in the House of Representatives are saying they're going to use this for fodder for the presidential election. They're going to bring this up and say, every single Democrat in the Senate voted against impeaching Alexander Mayorkas, which means every single Democrat supports Joe Biden's border policies, which were an absolute disaster. Okay. Are they really going to get any real mileage out of it? Eh, probably not. But I don't know. Maybe they will. But anyway, it's done. The trial came and went in the proverbial blink of an eye. Well, this is interesting. NPR, National Public Radio, and of course TV, NPR, National Public Radio is not just radio, but it's TV as well. Public, well, the TV is PBS, but they're linked at the hip. NPR, who loves to boast about diversity. Yeah, we believe in diversity at NPR, National Public Radio. Well, NPR has suspended one of their senior business editors who's been with NPR. I believe he's been with NPR for like 25 years. He's been suspended, and he could be fired. His name is Yuri Berliner. Berliner, B-E-R-L-I-N-E-R. I'm not sure whether it's Berliner or Berliner, but Yuri. And in a recent interview, Yuri Berliner, I think maybe it's Berliner, again, senior business editor, criticized his own company, NPR, for their bias. Basically, he said, I've been with NPR 25 years. Back in the days, we were kind of balanced and we tried to present both sides. But as time has gone on, we have grown farther and farther and farther and farther to the left. And we are basically now an arm of the Democratic Party. He's saying this about his employer. We are basically an arm of the Democratic Party. We have no balance. We have no objectivity. We are completely biased to the left. He focused in particularly on NPR's treatment of Donald Trump. How that it was all negative. Well, as a result, NPR's chief executive of less than a month, she's brand new on the job, Catherine Maher, M-A-H-E-R, suspended him without pay for 5 days. Now, why did she suspend him? Because he accused his own network of being discriminatory and biased. In other words, NPR does not allow differences of opinion anymore. So, because he said NPR will not allow differences of opinion, he's been suspended and possibly fired. For what reason? Expressing a different opinion. Yeah, this falls into the you can't make it up category. And in response to his interview, NPR's new chief executive, Catherine Marr, said his comments were, and I quote, deeply simplistic, profoundly disrespectful, hurtful, and demeaning. Okay. All right, class. It's time to put on our LTD hats here in class. Listen, think, discern. One of the things we have learned at LTD University is that truth and facts mean very little to the liberal left. Facts and truth just don't matter. Well, what does matter? Feelings, emotion, and if possible, hysteria. So, we have a 25-year employee of NPR criticizing his own network and saying, we are so biased anymore, we don't allow differences of opinion. We just don't. And in his interview, he gave specific illustrations of the bias of NPR against Republicans and particularly against Donald Trump. So, the chief executive, the new chief executive of NPR, suspends him for 5 days without pay. And again, he may get fired. And how does she respond? You hurt our feelings. You hurt us. You said bad things about us. Okay, now again, here's an opportunity to learn. Does she bring up any facts? No. Does she refute anything that he says in the interview about the bias of NPR? No. Does she give any illustrations, any factual illustrations of the neutrality and the objectivity of NPR? No. So what does she say? And again, I'm quoting. His interview was deeply simplistic, profoundly disrespectful, hurtful, and demeaning. Demeaning to who? Hurtful to who or whom? NPR is an organization. It's a corporation. It's National Public Radio Corporation. How do you hurt the feelings of a corporation? Can somebody explain that to me? So instead of responding with fact and truth, she says, he was, and again I'm quoting, deeply simplistic, profoundly disrespectful, hurtful, and demeaning. Feelings. No proof, no truth, no statistics, nope. Feelings. By the way, in looking a little deeper into the new executive, chief executive, the CEO of NPR, Catherine Marr, it's pretty easy to find that in 2018, she called Donald Trump a racist. Yeah, a racist. She's the chief executive officer of NPR Public Radio. She also featured herself on social media on several occasions wearing hats touting President Joe Biden's campaign back in 2020. Yeah, so she literally was campaigning for Joe Biden. And so she suspends one of her employees for exposing the truth about NPR. And by the way, she told him her rebuke and suspension for 5 days was, and I quote, a final warning. Yeah, her words, not mine. If you ever wanted proof that NPR and PBS, again, they are separate, but they're joined at the hip, incredibly biased to the left. Oh, by the way, the senior editor at NPR also says he does not know of a single, not even one, Republican who works at NPR. They're all Democrats. Yeah, talk about bias.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
Just a quick note, Joy and I have the privilege of being at Central Baptist Church down on Frank Road, south side of Columbus, this coming Sunday. We are really looking forward to being back at one of our favorite churches, Central Baptist Church on Frank Road. We will be there this coming Sunday morning. If you have a Bible-believing church, that's where you should be. If you don't, and you live on the south side of Columbus, why don't you come on over? Great church, great pastor, great people, and Joy and I would love to have the opportunity of meeting you. Came across this story, and it just broke my heart. We, too easily forget what prompted the war between Israel and Hamas. On October 7th, the nation of Israel was attacked in an absolutely unprecedented but well-planned attack on completely innocent Israeli and citizens, not only from Israel, but people around the world. There was a large number of people gathered for a concert. And the theme of the concert was peace. It was a concert about peace. And the concert was being held in an open field near several kibbutzes. All right? And if you know anything about the kibbutz network in Israel, most of these people are like the hippies of the 60s. They're peaceniks. They don't want war. They just want to be left alone. They want to be self-sustained. They like to grow their own food, and make their own clothes, and they have their own gardens, and they just kind of want to be left alone. They really remind me of the hippies of the 60s. And this concert was like a lot of the concerts of the 60s, where the theme was peace, you know, the tie-dyes and all of that. All right. Hamas, for months, planned this attack. And the attack was intentional in absolutely murdering and slaughtering completely innocent civilians. And again, the tragic irony is most of the people at the concert are not military-minded at all. They want peace. And these were people who were begging Israel to give in to Palestinian demands. Anyway, a well-planned attack. And as a result, it was the largest attack on Jews since World War II, since the Holocaust. People were slaughtered. People were executed. Women were raped in public, dragged behind trucks, and then shot in the head. Babies were dragged out of the arms of mothers and decapitated. You talk about barbarian, inhumane, cruel, demonic. It's the only way to explain the October 7th attack that precipitated the war that continues. All right. I came across this article this morning. One of the survivors of the Nova Music Festival, which was the primary attack on October 7th, one of these survivors testified before the Israeli parliament just a few days ago and testified that since October 7th, over 50 of the survivors have committed suicide. What they saw, what they experienced, what they observed as people were slaughtered, raped, beheaded, decapitated around them. The events were so horrific that it caused such deep, deep psychological trauma that already over 50 of these survivors have taken their own lives because of the psychological trauma that they endured. When we look at the Israeli-Hamas situation, it is this kind of thing we cannot forget.